T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
I still need to get clarification on how one gets ready for the Mike Tomlin press conference. Do those guys practice their
power hour?
Do they do, like, do they practice Tomlinisms? Like, what is, we get ready for a Tomlin Tuesday?
Do they make, like, lists? You put a giant line on paper and make your own above and below list and then ask him questions accordingly?
They're making it sound like they're previewing a game. Do they do predictions? Do they go around and say, okay, how many mentions of Ben Roethlisberger and Mike Tomlin's press conference, over under 3.5? I mean,
Oh, man. Well, I know this. If they all had the same answer for one of those over-unders, I'd fade it.
Fan Hotline's brought to you by the worker compensation law firm of Hall & Capitis. Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, joining us right now. Steve, who was the Steelers' best player in their win over the Broncos yesterday?
Can I just give credit to the entire offensive line? They were just outstanding across the board. You know, they were off.
Even Pouncey?
Even Pouncey was good. Even Pouncey across the board. He was solid. He was good in pass protection. 79.
Steve, grade. That was my jaw hitting my table. I'm sorry. You just might have put me out of action for a while. My chin just jammed off the table I'm sitting in front of here, hearing you say that.
There's zero bias with what we do, I promise. And even we get surprised sometimes. But T.J. Watt, once again, though, also graded best on the defensive side. 6 total pressures. The Steelers' pass rush is by far the best in the NFL. And we have a special chat where we kind of like post stats for each other. It's a really dorky internal PFF chat. Hey, look at this cool stat. Mm-hmm. And somebody just posted this one. Most pressures within 2.5 seconds after the snap through 2 weeks. The Steelers have 46. No one else has more than 31. So they're just dominating from a pass rush standpoint.
Damn.
Well, Steve, how do you explain Jeff Driscoll still cooking a little bit in this game, given what they were able to do getting a lot of quick pressure?
Yeah, I mean, that's like secondary play is inconsistent, and you know the Broncos, even though they were so banged up, they've got decent receivers. And Jeff Driscoll, I honestly, I'm a Florida fan, so I can't explain anything that Jeff Driscoll does. I saw him struggle for 3 years at Florida, and then kind of figure it out at Louisiana Tech, and I was shocked that he's even playing in the NFL. But he had a lot of bad plays in there, but he can make some good plays too. He's got a pretty good arm, you know. He can make positive plays, we'll say. So, yeah, I know there's some concerns in Steeler Nation, this lockdown defense keeping the Broncos close. But the Broncos pass game, they can make some plays. You know, guys like Noah Fant continuing to play well.
Steve, Ben Roethlisberger was super harsh and hard on himself after the game, pretty much said the defense won the game for us and I didn't really do much at all. How did you guys see Ben's performance?
Yeah, overall, it was a 56.9 grade, so it wasn't very good. I think he got away. He got away with two passes. Well, he had the one interception that was bad. He got away with another one in the end zone. To me, it was like one of those classic Big Ben type of games. You know, he throws the ball outside the numbers pretty well. He looked like, you know, after he had the one bad pass, he just started zipping it. You know, and I think when he's off platform, that's when you might see some of the arm issues show up. That's when he made a couple of his poor throws. Of course, he throws an absolute dime to Chase Claypool. That was beautiful. I thought the pass to Deontay Johnson, of course, the two touchdowns were great. And that's what I'm saying. It's the Big Ben game. And I think this is what makes Pittsburgh so dangerous, is he doesn't have to be on his game. I know he's saying the defense won it, but he can still create those big plays because of his aggressiveness and just because he's good. So even if he's off, you're still capable of making those big plays. Throw for throw wasn't his best outing, But again, classic Ben, because he can create those chunk plays, which, you know, ended up being the difference.
Steve, we're pretty bullish. Like, Andrew and I came out of that game sort of ripping them, I'll be honest, and saying it was not that impressive of a win. But I think where there is no argument right now in this town, it's when it comes to Chase Claypool and what he has shown through two games. I am going to just cheat a little bit here and say I already know what Pro Football Focus thinks of Claypool through these first 2 weeks, but I'll let you tell our audience.
Yeah, it's a small sample size, but when you have a 90 grade and then an 89 grade in your first two games, you know, catching all five targets, 127 yards, you know, it's easy to – I just love how the Steelers' wide receivers are slotting in, and we've talked about it here. You've got your Deontay Johnson and Juju, and they have their very specific skill sets, but the vertical threat that Chase Claypool has brought to the table – it's a little bit of what we were hoping for from James Washington. I think Washington is still going to contribute, but I think you're going to see more and more from Claypool, especially after we saw what he did yesterday at the catch point against with the Giants on Monday Night Football. I just really like the way this wide receiver core is shaping up, and yeah, Claypool's been fantastic in his limited time.
Steve, one of the reasons why we bring you on is because you guys go beyond stats. So if somebody didn't watch Steelers Broncos and just looked at James Conner, they'd see 16 carries, 106 yards, a touchdown is 6.6 yards per carry. They would say, oh man, he went off. What a great game. Is that how you guys feel about James Conner's performance?
Yeah, this was a good game. He graded in the green, and I think, you know, for running backs, you're not going to get a bunch of grades in like the high 80s or the 90s, you know. So he had a 72 grade in part because of some blocking, but a 78 run rushing grade is really good. He had 5.4 yards after contact. I think the offensive line did a better job from a pass protection standpoint than they did from a run blocking standpoint. So a bit of the opposite of what we said with, you know, Benny Snell the other night. There's no fumble in there for Connor either, which helps. So, you know, he did grade really, really well, and it was, you know, it was a good rushing effort from him after Benny Snell was, you know, picking up all the yards the first game.
Steve, when you look at this team in specifically the secondary, I want to go back to, how concerning should it be for Steelers fans that Minkah Fitzpatrick was as non-existent as he was in this game yesterday, and then I also thought maybe not great in week one either?
Yeah, I think it's the nature of safety play. I mean, he was existent yesterday, just in a bad way. You know, missing two tackles with a penalty. I mean, a horse collar. Yeah, there was just a lot. Two penalties, right? So, yeah, the pass interference, had the horse collar, had the missed tackles, and then could have been there. Almost gave up a touchdown. Was almost in coverage and a touchdown. So, I think, you know, as great as he played last year from a here's how the defense changed standpoint when Minkah showed up, we always kind of felt that was overrated. Safety play is very much dependent on how good the offense is and what the, you know, if Lamar is going to throw another one to Minkah this year, you know, so he can pick one off. So I think he'll be okay. I think the secondary will be okay. But they have not performed to the level that they did last year, which again is a lot of the nature of who you're going up against. You just can't really predict defense all that well, especially on the back end. So even if it's concerning right now, there's still a talented group that, again, I think in any game is going to, you know, at some point, I think they're going to turn around and play better. But, yeah, Minkah is certainly not playing his best football right now.
Steve Palazzolo, the co-host of the PFF NFL podcast. Check him out on Twitter at @PFF_Steve. Thank you, Steve. Do it again next week. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.